Danny, I need you to go to Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 and 13. While Ruth goes to Mark 11, Mark 11, 15 to 18. All right. You got yours, Danny?
Okay. What's that scripture?
Okay, I'll give that back to you again. Both of you. I'll give both of yours again. Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 and 13. Matthew chapter 21.
Okay, I got it.
12 and 13. While Ruthie goes over to Mark 11, 15 to 18. Okay, go ahead, Danny.
Jesus cleanses the temple a second time, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves.
And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine.
Hello, do you see a problem? Does anybody see a problem with what we already heard about Jim Jones and what he did, the churches and what they're doing today, and what you just read?
It's that businesses that sell do not belong in the church.
Do you notice, and where were these money changers?
In the temple.
Danny, were they out down the road a piece?
No.
Were they just in the courtyard?
No, sir.
It says, they that bought and sold where? In. Notice the key word. In the temple.
Right.
These guys were right inside the temple. And what were they selling?
Doves and goods.
They were selling the doves, the oxen and stuff that were used for sacrifice. In the temple. Oh, well, come on. What about those people who traveled so far? They won't have nothing to sacrifice. And that is stupid for them to go 5 blocks away and get their goods there. Why can't we have them right at the church? Oh, but there's nothing wrong with it. It's just for, as Jim Jones, in the words of Jim Jones, a good Christian cause. And the $29 purchase price includes a month's supply of bananas. Get over it.
Yes, get over it.
Come on, guys. Look here, guys. When you got somebody coming in the church and, oh, well, there's nothing wrong with it. All we're doing is having a little contest. Who can have the best table set up with a tea set? Well, preacher, let me ask you about your little event. Where in the Bible do you find this? Oh, there's no scripture for this, but it's a good fundraiser and it's something nice. Does that sound like Jim Jones or what? Oh, we just only have a little calendar tea. All we're doing is just having ourselves a fundraiser for our church. It's called Walmart! Hello? It's called Kmart. It's called Walmart. Go up there, ask them if you could set a table outside their building and sell your stuff out there. Raise you a little money for your church, if that's what you want to do. But selling your nonsense in the church building itself, hello, Jim Jones cult! I'm going to preach it. You don't like that, too bad. Jesus did not like the money changers and the people selling their junk in the church, in the temple. Before I get to preaching on this, I got to prove it from the Bible, okay? We need to prove this from the Bible. There's some more verses on this here subject. Danny, I need you to go to Luke 19, verses 45 and 46. Luke 19, 45 and 46. And while you're going there, we're going to have Ruthie go to John chapter 2, verses 13 to 17.
Luke chapter 19, what?
Luke chapter 19, Danny. Verses 45 and 46. Verses 45 and 46. And Ruthie will go to John chapter 2, verses 13 to 17.
Okay, now, I have mine.
You got yours, Ruthie? Okay, they're rustling the leaves going on here. All right, go ahead, Danny.
And he went into the temple and began to cast them that told therein, and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves.
Now, before I have Ruthie read hers, so far in three accounts, it says that Jesus cast out the money changers and overturned their tables. But when you watch the Jesus of Nazareth movie, you see him have this long stick and he starts beating up people. Is that scriptural? Well, let's listen to what Ruthie says, and we're going to see how kindly Jesus said, come on, boys, get out of here with this stuff. Come on, just leave. Okay? We're going to see how nice Jesus was about it.
And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up.
Hey, Danny.
Yes.
Do you see that? Jesus was real nice about it, wasn't he?
No, absolutely not.
He was so kind. He had so much tact. Now, you know, guys.
Excuse me, but...
No, Danny. No. He was nice about it. He says, come on, guys. We don't do this here.
No.
Would you just please leave? Come on. I don't see Jesus doing it. What does it say he did? He made a scourge of cords, and it wasn't big, wide cords. Anybody that knows anything, if you make a cord and it's thinner, it's going to do more damage. He grabs this bunch of thin cords and he makes himself a cat of nine tails. Woo! He says, okay, I know in a few days I'm going to get a whooping, but you all are going to get it first. He comes in there with a cat of nine tails, boy. He comes in there and hello, JWs. Hello, cults. What did he say? Now, wait a minute. Whose house was that? Jehovah's. That was the Father's house. And what did he say? My house shall be called a house of prayer. Hello, JWs. The zeal of my house hath eaten me up. Hello. Jesus came in there. He started whooping booty. And he says, get these things out of here. He didn't just nicely, would you please leave? No, he started kicking tail. Come on. Jesus started kicking tail and says, oh, no. This don't belong here. Get it out. And it's pretty sad when, oh, Ruth, they won't change. No. There ain't no money changers in the church. Just, I only have a $10 bill. Could you give me five and four ones? If you don't call that changing in the offering plate, well, come on. If you're going to give an offering, you should have first off already knew what you was going to bring it anyway. If you're going to do that nonsense, but let me tell you something, that tithe nonsense is, just get my sermon on tithing and you'll know what I'm talking about. Get that message, an in-depth study on tithing, you'll know what we're talking about. Amen. It's in the blind ministry as well. Amen. Now, we already see that Jim Jones went off the beaten path where? With money and with healing. We find that in many churches.
Yes.
But guess where he also went off path? The saddest one of all. Here is where everything went downhill. I'm going to let you hear it first, and then see if you can figure it out. Okay? It'll be painfully obvious.
Your faith? Is it in this little black book of myths and fables and 1,001 mistakes?
Yes.
No, you cannot put all your faith in that little black book. Is your faith in some vision, some fantasy of God as a golden-haired figure in a rainbow?
No.
An imaginary sunburst in the cloud?
No.
Then where is your faith? Is it where it belongs? In the message I bring to you? In me, the spiritual father of your church?
Yes.
What? I can't hear your faith?
Yes.
Praise God, my children. You are all my children. I am your spiritual father who will guide you, who will love you, and save you. Save you from temptation, save you from sin, and take you to the gates of paradise, that eternal heaven that awaits each of us who truly believes. And I will bring you the fruits of this life. For your faith in me gives you power. Power greater than any on this earth. And we must be certain of your faith. There must not be the slightest shadow of doubt. You must show it. Demonstrate it.
He said, a lot of you people, you Christian people come in and you're so hung up on this Bible. He said, this black book has held down black people for the last 200 years. He said, but I'm going to show you this has no power. So he leaned way back like a football player and he flung it. And when he flung it and let it go, the place got dead quietly. And he waited till it hit the floor. Pow! When it hit the floor, he stood and he looked back and forth. He said, now, did you see any lightning come from the sky and strike me dead?
You're going to help yourself or you'll get no help. There's only one hope of glory. That's within you. Nobody's going to come out of the sky. There's no heaven up there. We'll have no heaven down here.
And he said, what you need to believe in is what you can see. He said, if you see me as your friend, I'll be your friend. As you see me as your father, I'll be your father for those of you that don't have a father. He said, if you see me as your savior, I'll be your savior. He said, even so, if you see me as your God, I'll be your God.
Do we got a problem with that, with the scripture we just read at the beginning of the message?
Yes, because thou shalt have no other gods before me, Jesus said.
More to the point, Jesus says, call no man father, except your heavenly father.
Hello, Catholic.
Hello, Catholic cult. See, you're already started on the Jim Jones way. That's why I said by the time I'm done tonight, there's a lot of them implicated in this one. Not just one church, even though we know one, like I said, that is so close to what Jim Jones finally ended up doing, that it's not funny and we ain't going to mention their name tonight, but they know who they are. But it's pretty sad that there's other churches right on the same path. And there's so many of them that it's not funny. Hello? We got the Mormons are on the way. The JW's right behind them. Hello? They all follow the same path, so you ain't got no reason to be over there talking about old Jim Jones. You're just as guilty. Amen? Hey, Bible says you ain't supposed to call no one Father on this earth but your Heavenly Father. Amen? But now, wait a minute. What did God have to say about the book? What did He say about it? Come on. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, Danny. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Hello? All Scripture. And that's only one of the few places. The Bible says that it was in that as holy men were moved by the Holy Spirit. Hello, this book is God written. You call it mechanical dictation if you want to, but I believe God sit there, each one of those writers of the Bible, when they sat down and penned their books, I believe God took and held their hand and wrote what He wanted to have written. Right down to the periods and the commas. Hello. Says every jot, every tittle. Amen. So, every little stroke of the pen, God knew what that person was going to write, and He had it planned. So don't you tell me this book ain't inspired. Don't you tell me it's full of errors, you reprobates. When you go say, well, this is better translated this, and oh, we got to have our never-inspired vomit, or we got to have the nasty witch's toilet, or the awful, rotten, awful, satanic vomit, or we got to have all these other things, or the amplified, which ain't no more amplified than a tape deck without a speaker. Amen. 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 Come on, preacher. I'm preaching now. The fact is, it ain't amplified. The only thing it's done is they yanked the speaker out of that long ago. The only thing is the real book you need is 1611. If you ain't got that, get rid of it. Amen. Oh, well, I don't understand the these and thous. Well, you don't have no problem with old Shakespeare, do you? You don't have a problem with Romeo and Juliet, but you sure enough have a problem with the KJV. I'll tell you why, because you don't want to read the real thing. Because it's got you under conviction. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, I'll amen myself tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Jim Jones not only, and here's where a lot, even regular churches are going to be implicated again, not only was he off the beaten path with healing, and he had a lot of junk in that, he's not only off the beaten path when he started into that nonsense about, give me money, 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 give, 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 give. Sounds like all the preachers I've ever heard. Oh, give until it hurts, and then, oh, well, hey, that's a good idea. Just, if you go to Croak, give your house or whatever, just give it as a in your will to the church. Hello? There's something wrong with that picture. And then if that ain't bad enough, then they go saying, well, the Bible ain't got no authority. But what do? The real bad ones, when they start getting right down to the very end and they're getting real close to what Jim Jones and they're being occultic, you know what they do? They start getting you busy. And they get you so busy that you can't even think straight. And you can't think and put in your brain the truth. You're so busy you don't have time to think. The JWs have you knocking on doors, how many hours a week or whatever. And you're required to do it. And then have to go to so many meetings and you have to do all this and the other thing. The Mormons, the same deal. Just about every cult, they do that. They keep you so busy you can't think straight. Well, Jim Jones didn't do a thing like that. Oh, really? Is that what you think? Well, then, sit back, sweetheart, and listen to this.
Well, it got to the point where there were so many duties in the temple that some people had to become full-time. So when you were full-time temple, you worked about 20 hours a day.
My week kind of ran like this. I'd work my regular job on Mondays, you know, 8 to 5. Then I'd work on files. There were people who ran rest homes. There were animals to be taken care of. There were the publications. Everybody had a job. Wednesday night, we'd have a meeting in Redwood Valley, and I'd go to the meeting for till probably 10 or 10:30.
We turned our paychecks over every time we got paid. And then we got an allowance, $5 a week.
And Friday, I'd go to work, and I'd get off of work, and I'd hop on the bus or drive the bus to San Francisco.
If I had to go to the doctor, was taken care of. I had to go to the dentist that was taken care of. If I needed clothes, that was taken care of.
And often on Saturday night, we have planning commission meetings till 2 or 3 in the morning.
We would always try to let each other know next day, well, how long did you sleep? Oh, I slept 2 hours. You only slept 2? Well, I slept 1.5 hours.
And then Sunday, we'd have a Sunday morning service, and then around 1 o'clock, hop on the buses, drive up, drop people off in San Francisco, and drive up to Redwood Valley.
The longest I ever stayed awake was 6 days, and that's with no coffee. No, nothing.
It changed over the years, but it was always busy.
Being in an environment where you're constantly up, you're constantly busy, and you're made to feel guilty if you take too many luxuries like sleeping, you tend to not really think for yourself. And I did allow Jones to think for me because I figured that he had the better plan. I gave my rights up to him, as many others did.
Now think about that. That's exactly what you do. You give up your rights to that leader. They start to run your life. Hello, Jehovah's Witness, if you're still with us by now. Jehovah's Witness friend, let me tell you something. The governing body has been doing the same thing to you. Mormon friend, that's what Utah has been doing to you. Hello, Catholic friend, that's what the Pope and his cronies are doing to you. Hello, churches. If you got a church out there that tells you got to bust your neck so much that you can't even think straight and you can't even sleep, and they tell you that sleep is sinful because you're not doing enough for God, wait a minute. Jesus himself said there were times you needed to go off by yourself and pray and sleep and recoup. Over and over again, he told us that. Yeah, he told us he wanted to be busy. He wanted us to be about the Father's business. But he didn't want us to kill ourselves in the process. Nowhere did he say you got to run yourself into the ground. He did say we got to be busy. He did tell us that we got to do some work and we got to do good works for him. But he didn't say you had to go and kill yourself and put yourself in an early grave because you aren't sleeping. Now, let's first take a look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Ruth, I'm going to give that one to you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And we're going to have Danny go over to Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Now, do you remember yours, Ruth, or do you need me to repeat it? Okay. Danny, you got yours, Matthew 28, 19 and 20? Okay. Well, while you're getting yours, Ruthie's going to read hers. All right.
Ruthie. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, to all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Isn't that wonderful?
Everything you do, whether it's in the Word, by what you say, or by your deeds, you do it in the name of the Lord. You do it for Christ. Danny?
28, 19, and 20.
That's correct.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Amen to that. Okay, Ruthie, you got to go to 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. Now, what was we supposed to go and do? Were we to go out there and sell monkeys and make money for the church and help our little businesses?
No.
Or what was we supposed to do? According to Matthew 28, said the gospel. Well, what is that? Well, let's find out.
Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Isn't that wonderful?
Now, I'm going to pull over and park on that point for one point here. It says that we're supposed to take the gospel to the world, to every creature, according to Mark chapter 16, verses 15-16. So to every creature. But what gospel? Death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ for the sins of all mankind, plus nothing, minus nothing. And if that's not the gospel they're bringing you and preaching, Danny, Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, please.
But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.
You notice something? He says, you know, when Moroni came down and propped that book on old Joseph Smith's head, that he was right with God, right?
Nope.
You're supposed to listen to old Joseph Smith because Moroni dropped that book right on his head, right?
No, sir.
What about old Charles Taz Russell when he had his thing and what does the Bible say? If they're preaching another gospel, what?
Let him be accursed.
You know what that means?
The anathema curse of God, which is the strongest language possible. You can see why we must not blindly follow some leader, but need to check him out.
In another words, Danny, I'll give it to you. I'll make it. You use that big long word, but since we got a lot of simple folks, I'm going to help them out here. That word, anathema maranatha, curse of God, that Danny's referring to, that means in the Greek, let them go to hell. It's better they go to hell by themselves than to drag you with them. Amen. So, hey.
Right, amen.
If the old Buzzard Bay wants to go to hell and preach his false gospel, let him go. Amen. Hey, no one's heard me ask for a dime tonight. Amen. Look, the gospel says that if he preaches anything other than the gospel you received, the death, burial, resurrection of Christ for your sins, let the buzzard go to hell. That's in the Greek there somewhere. And you know what? You know something about old Paul? He's writing the Galatians. You know what? You know he must have been talking to a bunch of hard-headed Christians. He had to repeat himself. He says, as I said before, he had to repeat himself. He must have thought they was hard of hearing. Hey, as I said before, I'm going to say again, if any man or angel, Joseph Smith, preach any other gospel unto you, then that way you received, let him go to hell. Come on. The old dirty buzzard, let him go. Now, as we've seen so far, look at the steps. And usually in the cults, they either happen in stages, or they happen all at once. They start by the leader gets his idea of, well, he's got to make himself some money, so what's he do? Right now. Oh, I feel the Spirit. Right here in the sound of my voice. Someone has a backache. Anybody got a backache? Raise your hand. Say, man, I got it tonight. I got it tonight, Danny. Boy, someone here, oh, I could feel it. Someone tonight is needing a financial blessing. Anybody need a financial blessing? Raise your hand. Come on. Come on. Someone tonight has a headache. Well, by the end of this message, most of them probably do. Amen, amen, amen. After listening to this long-winded preaching, man, they all probably got a headache. Well, that's too bad. Get over it. The fact is, that's how they start out. They have this so-called personal prophecy, and 90% of it is stuff that anybody could guess. I mean, if you got 1,000 people, obviously at least one of them's got a headache, and one of them's got a backache. And maybe one of them's got a tummy ache. Come on! Why don't you come up with something more original than a backache or a headache or a blindness or something that's so easy? Hello, hello, hello. Now, they start off on that nonsense. Then, not only at the same time, at the very same time, they take the authority of the Bible, they throw it in the garbage can pretty much. And at the same time, what do? They start preaching money. And it's usually all simultaneously at the same time. And while they're doing that, the next thing you know, as I said, they start getting you so busy you can't think. Then what's the next stage? Hello, cults. Hello, churches. Oh, if you leave this church and you go get a membership elsewhere, you've lost your salvation. Basically, you try to isolate your people from somebody else that's from another church. Hello, every church that I've ever been to is exactly the way they act. Tell me that ain't truth. Come on, they isolate people. Oh, but...
Go get him, Kenny.
Come on. Come on, Danny. Jim Jones never did a thing like that. He was such a nice guy, right?
We did do things like that.
Danny, instead of us just telling them, why don't we just show them, okay? This way they'll know that I'm not faking this stuff, okay? Let's listen.
There was always threats. Always, 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 always threats. They were there. They were just about to try to destroy us. We weren't always vigilant about our movement. There was a fire in the San Francisco temple. The temple was burned down and had to be rebuilt. The fire proved they are out to get us. They so don't want us to do what we're doing. They've burned down the temple. They'll do anything to keep us from doing what we're doing, so we have to be even stronger.
What about the fact that the Ku Klux Klan has increased 100 times in its membership? Where? Not Mississippi. I'm talking about New York State. It's the church's duty to have a place of protection for its people.
We all wanted to go. I wanted to go. It looked like freedom.
Now will each of you give a very fond embrace, a salutary kiss of greeting to your neighbor. Let's fill this atmosphere with warmth and love.
We thought of ourselves as one big family that did handle our own discipline. I was in a lot of the meetings where people were spanked or beaten, and I was slapped once also in a public meeting.
People were brought up front and had to tell who they'd slept with and who they'd sneaked off to a restaurant with.
It wasn't a week that went by that I wasn't called up on the float. Because of my behavior, because of my attitude. Stanley Clayton, up front, center.
He would ask people, what do you think we ought to do with them? You think you ought to get a good boxing, and then you'd get a resounding roar. Yes.
You might fight 5 people in one night. Well, you know, you're very tired. I've seen situations where they actually knocked a person out. And actually took water and threw the water back on, woke him up and woke him some more.
I had welts really bad, and when I went to work the next day, one of my employees noticed the welts when I sat down, and I just broke down and told her. She didn't even know I was People's Temple. And she called the manager of the station up, and they talked to me about leaving. I couldn't say goodbye to my son and my husband, because at that point it was like the Gestapo. The families were turning in each other. If I had said goodbye, one of them would have reported me.
It's kind of like when you get married and you have this ideal and you're in love, and then, you know, the honeymoon wears off and reality sets in. And most people, once the going gets rough, don't jump out immediately.
have a conscious memory of sitting there thinking to myself, this is wrong.
Like a child in a dysfunctional family, on a certain level, it's normal, you know? I just kind of took everything in stride.
But then we felt like we had gotten involved and gotten in so deep that it was actually no way out.
Every night at some point, his voice would come over the loudspeaker and he'd say, I'm sending somebody out tonight. Somebody you know, somebody you trust. And they're going to act like they want to leave. But this is a loyalty test, and you need to turn them in.
A father would turn in a son. A husband would turn in a wife. A small child would turn in a parent. There was no freedom to express to one another what was going on because everything was suspect. The most forbidden thing to express was to leave.
He had a real issue with separation. People could not leave him. He took it as a betrayal to the cause and to him personally.
He said, I really want to get away from him. By Christmas, I will be gone.
By Christmas, do you want to be gone?
Yeah,
by Christmas, do you want to be gone? By Christmas, do you want to be gone?
I would ask you, could I go home to make a trip to see my people?
I have the power to send you home by Christmas, but it's not on Transworld Airlines. It's blasphemy. It's blasphemy to talk about going back when you have not been given any approval. Do you want to go home?
Oh.
Well, then be seated and shut your mouth and don't be in my face anymore.
Anybody find a problem with that? Does anybody see any similarity to some cults? Huh? Does anybody see a similarity to some cults? I'd say yes.
He ran it like prison, and that's exactly what he did.
Hello, what about the JWs?
They run it like a prison.
Oh, look, if you go and watch, read such and such anti-JW literature, we're going to turn you in. If you read any anti-Mormon literature, we're going to turn you in. Sound familiar? If you go to leave, if you even think about reading anything that's not their publication, we're going to turn you in. What about in the churches that we go to? Huh? Well, you go to read some... If you go reading some other book, Danny, don't you ever have a NWT in your house because why? It's sinful.
Chapter and verse, please.
And what they're going to do, they're going to turn you into your preacher. And tell your preacher how you living in sin because you got the NWT and the Book of Mormon on your bookshelf. Excuse me. Last night I was talking to a fella and we were talking about different things that so-called churches call sin. And I say so-called churches. This thing about makeup. Oh, well, women shouldn't wear makeup. Women's always got to wear a dress, and they can't have their hair braided. Men can't wear, women can't wear jewelry. Men ain't allowed to wear jewelry. This and that and the other thing. Men can't have long hair. Excuse me. First off, is a gun evil or good? The answer is it's neither. It's not the gun, it's who holds it and pulls the trigger. It's what you do with that gun. Hey, I can hang that thing on the wall, let it collect dust, and if I never put a bullet in it, that gun ain't done a thing. But if I pull the trigger in anger and kill somebody, excuse me, it wasn't the gun, it was the idiot behind it. Hello, what are you going to do, tell people they can't drive cars? Oh, I know. What are you talking about cars, Reverend Wolfgang? I'll tell you why. What about the people who get behind the wheel, drive around in anger and run down a little child or an adult or something. It's called road rage. Haven't you heard of it? Oh, you're going to say all cars are evil and we shouldn't do them? That means you're going to be riding horse and buggy. Hello? Better yet, you might as well not even do that because there's idiots in the Amish church who go running down their neighbors with a horse and buggy. So what you going to do? Say that's evil too? Hope you like your shoe leather worn out. What am I trying to say? It's not the car, it's not the horse and buggy, and nor is it the gun. It's what you do with those items. Hello? It ain't the NWT, it's what you do with it. If you follow what the governing body up in Brooklyn, New York says, and you fall under their command and you don't follow Jesus, that book, yeah, it can be evil. You could lead people straight to the pit of hell. But if you open that NWT up and you put verses like Isaiah 44:24 and put that in combination with John 1:1, 2, and 3, hello? You could show a JW that the God that they're talking about is the very same one in John 1:1 that created the heavens and the earth. Hello? So it ain't the NWT, it's what you do with it. It's not the Dewey version of the Bible, it's what you do with it. It's not the NASB, it's what you do with it. I'm not saying, when I said earlier about those other books being not from God or not inspired, that's because they're not. But you certainly still can use them to teach people the truth. So I'm not saying you shouldn't have them in your house. I am saying if you ain't got the authorized Bible and don't stick with an authorized Bible and don't stick and say, this is the authority on which I rest, then you got a problem when you start saying there's no authority in the Bible. That's what I'm talking about. Now, so these people are isolated, and you know where they get this nonsense from? Here's where they get this nonsense from. They get it from here. 2 Corinthians, Danny, I'm going to let you read our final scripture tonight. 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 14 to 18. 2 Corinthians 6:14-18.
Hey, just a minute.
We're going to have our final scripture tonight.
Okay. 6:14 to 18. Okay. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement would hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
Now, what are we saying tonight? What are we saying tonight? See, they teach that if you go outside the organization, go outside the church, and you even talk to a lost person or someone that's not of their kind, that you are associating and being unequally yoked. Now, wait a minute. What does it mean to be unequally yoked? Yoke is someone that is bearing a burden and doing a work. So it is not talking about that you cannot talk to Ruth. That doesn't mean that you can't go out there and talk to, let's say, we'll use Fred Bell. He's already passed away, so this will be a safe illustration. It doesn't mean that you can't go to Fred Bell and give him the gospel even though he's lost as a dog. It doesn't mean that you can't take him out to lunch and be his friend and at least say, look, I would like to tell you that there's nothing wrong with that. But the Bible does say if he goes into a business adventure and he wants you to work with him, and his business adventure is to run, let's say, a porn shop, and you're not into that, nor are you going to do that because it's, or he wants to run a casino, for example. Either way, and you say, my God tells me I'm not doing this, but yet he wants you, that's being unequally yoked. You see where I'm coming from? But the fact is, these people take, and they take that thing and go so far as to the point where they say, well, you shouldn't even be around lost people. No. We've already read the scripture. He said, go. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He told us to go. He said that that it's already time for the harvest. Look to the fields, they're already ripe to harvest. And get your hide out in the field and start harvesting the corn, because the field is already ripe. He already told us that. But he didn't say that we couldn't go out there and witness to people. And nor did he say that you had to hide off in your little thing and keep away from people like they're the plague. No. The Bible teaches you can't just treat people like an enemy just because you got Christ and they don't. You can't bring them back to Christ if they did backslide. You can't bring them back to Christ by treating them like an enemy. You got to treat them as a friend. You got to treat them like a decent human being. That way, the Bible says you got to kill them with kindness, reap some coals of fire on their head. That's how they're going to come back to Christ, not by you acting like they're a dog. So get off your high horse, get humble, and get Jesus in your heart and do it God's way. Amen. Heavenly Father.
Yes.
This has been a long, long, long message, Lord. This I do know. But Lord, I also know it was needed. Lord, there are so many churches after listening to what we have done tonight, Lord, that fall under not a church that's in a building that would ordinarily be used in a little plaza or something called a storefront. We're not talking about that, Lord. But we are talking about those churches who have turned. We're talking about these groups that call themselves a church that have taken that group and turned it into a store. They've turned their church into an actual storefront. They sell their wares. They shove the plate in people's face. They tell you if you're not tithing, you're going to hell. And Lord, their whole emphasis is money. They get all these false healers and fake healers and people that don't have a clue about anything. They tell lies about the truth that you said that we would suffer. You told us, Lord, that you told Adam and Eve if they took of the fruit, they would die. But they want to try to live forever by always being healed, healthy and wealthy, name it and claim it, Lord. Lord, there are so many that, as we've seen tonight, fall under this Jim Jones thing. There are some that are close, Lord. Close to doing the very same thing Jim Jones did. Others, Lord, they may not be there yet. But if they don't watch it, they could be right next. Lord, we ask right now for each and every one of them that one of those churches, one of those preachers, one of those groups would say, "Oh, we're hitting the brakes. I heard the message. I'm under conviction. I'm not going that way. I'm not going to do that no more. I'm going to do it your way, Lord." And they put down the offering plate. They put down the money bags. They take their people out of bondage and quit telling them they have to stick with their own little group. And they start to serve you, Jesus. So, Lord, we ask you right now that you would just help them. Bring them to yourself, Lord, as only you can do. And, Lord, as we give this invitation, let one person come to you, Jesus. Lord, let just one person ask you to be their Savior. Let one person come to you, Lord Jesus, that needs you, Jesus. Lord, we ask tonight that you would just help them. We ask tonight, Lord, that you would just bless. Bless this invitation time, Lord. Let us see one person come to you, Jesus. Because your word said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, Lord, we thank you. We ask you now to take total charge of this invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.